What's cracking, everybody? I'm Nathan Webb.
And I'm his brother, Kyle Webb.
And you're tuning in to Season 2 of our podcast, Two Brothers and a Review.
Every Monday, Nate and I get together and we review movies.
And for this season, it's specifically
horror movies. Don't forget, we'll have an occasional new release.
That's right, I'm still trying to avoid the new Jackass movie. We will provide you with researched facts, our opinions, and my personal favorite,
Trope, there it is!
So make sure you visit us every week at noon. Let's jump right into this episode.
Let's do it.
Please, sir, all I need is 5 minutes.
And I told you, Campbell, no more paranoid on-air rants about the supernatural.
I know. This station is about sex, violence, and the weather.
Yes, that reminds me. We're gonna need that porn star shot dead in a hurricane story. 1 hour.
Top 5 movies at the domestic box office for the week of December 24th, according to thenumbers.com, are Spider-Man No Way Home dominantly holds the number one spot, adding $171.3 million to its $557.1 million gross over the holiday weekend. Sing 2 slightly closes the gap, but is still pretty far off, remaining at the number 2 spot and adding $54.4 million to its box office gross. The Kingsman, or Kingsman, in its second week, hops up to the 3rd spot on the charts, adding $11.3 million to its gross for the 20th Century Studios. This one is a bit shocking. American Underdog, The Kurt Warner Story, lands in the 4th spot, raking in $10.9 million for its first week. Ooh. One, I didn't even know that this was a thing. Ooh. And two, American Underdog, Kurt Warner Story. You know who Kurt Warner is? Ooh. Wow, okay. He's a quarterback. He was quarterback for the Super Bowl champion Rams, and he went to a couple other different places. But that right there goes to show you're a football fan. I mean, more Bengals, but you still know some about football, and you don't know who Kurt Warner is, but there is a movie about him, and it is number 4 right now. Hmm. Bring in $10.9 million. Anyways, finally at number 5 for the second week in a row is another 20th Century Studios movie, West Side Story, earning $6.3 million in its 3rd week. So the top 5 changed a little bit. Spider-Man No Way Home still dominantly holding down that number 1 spot. I said last week that Spider-Man No Way Home was trending to break multiple records. The movie is still doing very well in its second week and has claimed the top spot for the worldwide box office movies of 2021, bringing in a total gross of $1.3 billion for Sony Pictures. It currently sits at number 12 at the all-time world box office chart. No other movie from 2021 is even in the top 50. And Spider-Man No Way Home was only released for 2 weeks in 2021. It's very, very possible that it's going to top those charts.
It's going to hit the Richter scale.
Staying on the Spider-Man No Way Home train and segueing into the current most anticipated movies, Doctor Strange in the Mall. Spoiler alert, if you haven't watched Spider-Man No Way Home yet, you might want to skip ahead about a minute here. Maybe not even that far, but spoiler alert. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness tops the list of most anticipated movies. The movie is set to release 6 months from now, but most likely the anticipation comes from the after credits scene in Spider-Man No Way Home, which is a quick glimpse at the Doctor Strange movie. So, if you're a Marvel fan, you know that there are 2 scenes after the credits. One is in the middle of the credits, so to speak, kind of. And then the other one is the after credits. Spider-Man No Way Home, if you stayed all the way through to the second part of it, there is a
Doctor Strange
scene.
I've still yet to see it, but I will be seeing it soon.
It's definitely worth a go. All right, spoiler territory over. Morbius is still amongst the most anticipated movies as well as Scream for myself and, according to numbers.com, many others. A few others that are highly anticipated and set to release in early 2022 are The Commando, The Batman, and Uncharted. 2022 is really looking like a banger. 2022 is really looking like banger after banger is going to be released. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited. But before we can go into the future, we must travel to the past. Mm-hmm. Are you ready to review 1992's Candyman?
Yes.
Let's get it.
I am indeed.
You are not content with the stories, so I was obliged to come. Be my victim.
Candyman is a 1992 American Gothic supernatural horror film written and directed by Bernard Rose and is based on Clive Barker's short story, The Forbidden. A little note here, this is on our top 10 slashers. It's listed as an American Gothic supernatural horror film, but other places like IMDb, I believe, has it listed as a slasher. So, if you want to read the back of the case for him?
Yeah, definitely. A children's ghost story comes to terrifying life in this gut-wrenching thriller about a graduate student whose research into modern folklore summons the spirit of the dead. There are another two paragraphs, but we are going to cut it off here because that one sentence is enough to describe the movie. Candyman is rated R for violence and gore with a runtime of 101 minutes. Candyman has a production budget between $8 and $9 million and went on to gross $25.7 million in the United States. It was only viewed outside of the U.S. at the Toronto International Film Festival.
All right. As for the principal photography, 3 days of Candyman's filming was spent on Cabrini Green in Chicago, Illinois, while the rest were filmed at Hollywood sound stages. Mm. Producers had to make a deal with the ruling gang members of the Cabrini Green area to put them in the movie as extras to ensure the cast and crew's safety during the filming.
Wow.
Even with this arrangement, a sniper put a bullet through the production van on the last day of filming. No one was injured, but holy fuck.
Yeah.
This is real. That's not just an added...
Yeah, that's...
Fucking, that really happened.
That's real life. That's what happens in the ghetto.
Cabrini Green has since been torn down. Like, I think early 2000s, I believe. So, it's no longer there, but... All right. Moving on to some facts about the movie. Eddie Murphy was the original choice for the role of Candyman, but the filmmakers could not afford him.
Thank God.
Okay. Personally, I feel this ended up being a good thing. Could you imagine seeing Eddie Murphy as Candyman?
No.
Yeah. I mean, I like Eddie Murphy. I just don't.
Before we get to the opinions, we always do this sometime in the movie or in the podcast. Uh-huh. Is there anybody else you could think of that could have played the Candyman?
In 92, I'd be honest, too young to really think about. Yeah, sure. Do you know who Tretch is from Naughty by Nature? The big, tall, muscular guy? Maybe him? Because I do remember as a young kid, this is really, since we're talking about it, this is really weird, I wanted to be Tretch. Little old skinny white boy Nate wanted to be Tretch, but he looked so fucking cool and his voice sounds so fucking cool. So I'd say Tretch. I mean, he does do some acting. So I guess Tretch, but I see where you're going with. No, perfect choice.
I think it was a perfect choice, but for some reason I just can't get Dennis Rodman out of my head.
Okay.
I think that was like... Prime Chicago Bulls days, but there was days where you'd miss practice and stuff. So I could see Dennis Rodman being a good Candyman. I don't know why, like, okay.
I like the worm, so I can appreciate that.
Even watching the movie, I was thinking this. Not just looking at Tony Todd's face. I'm just like, you know, but okay. Yes, okay. It's definitely, I looked over and seen the picture of Tony Todd, and I was like, oh, I gotta bring this up real quick before I forget.
Okay.
Yeah. So back to the facts.
Okay. I can see Dennis Rodman doing it. That'd be interesting.
That was a quick opinion before the opinions.
All right. staying on Tony Todd though, the Candyman's background is unknown in the Clive Baker short story. Actor Tony Todd came up with the backstory for the character in the film. So if they would have cast, I don't know, say Dennis Rodman, that backstory wouldn't have been there, so I don't know if the movie would have been the same. So
true. Very true.
Yeah.
Well done, Tony Todd.
Bernard Rose's then-wife, Alexandra Pig, was originally cast to play the role of Helen, but once filming commenced, she discovered that she was pregnant, and the role was given to Virginia Madsen. Another option, apparently, would have been Sandra Bullock if Madison didn't work out, but obviously Madsen did, so... the film used more than 200,000 real honeybees, and most of the crew wore body suits to be protected from the stings, although all of them faced at least one sting. Tony Todd negotiated a bonus of $1,000 for each of the 23 bee stings. That he received during filming. And then also on top of that, Virginia Madsen was highly allergic to stings.
Oh shit.
Maybe bees weren't the best thing to use here. I don't know. But so $1,000 for 23 bee stings. Sure. Like $1,000 per sting.
Yeah.
So I would have been like, come on, bees, sting me a little more. Director Bernard Rose utilized hypnosis to work around what he saw as a cliche of excessive screaming in horror films. Rose came up with the idea to have Virginia Madsen hypnotized in the scenes where she confronted the Candyman. This was accomplished through the use of professional hypnosis, who established a keyword that Rose would use to put Madsen under a trance-like state. There were some wild fucking techniques being used in the 90s. Mm-hmm. Not knowing that, that was one of my things about the... Or not to opinions yet, but real quick. That was one of my things that I didn't like about the movie. Like, whenever she interacted with him, it was like she was not there or whatever. And I was like, what the... It doesn't make any fucking sense. But now knowing why, it all makes sense. Virginia Madsen, since we're still talking about her, won multiple Best Actress Awards from various award shows and ceremonies. Tony Todd was nominated for Best Actor, and Candyman was nominated for Best Film, but neither of them won. So, Virginia Madsen's acting apparently earned her some accolades. Then last thing I have for the facts before we give our opinions. Originally, Candyman's name was to be called 13 times, but the writer-director Bernard Rose reduced it to 5. Thank God, because I thought 5 was already too many.
Yep.
And I don't have this mentioned, but I know both of us thought that it was only said 3 times.
Yeah.
Mandela effect, something. I don't know what it is. Maybe we're thinking Bloody Mary. Bloody Mary's 3 times.
That's literally what I was thinking, because it was kind of popular around the same time. So I'm wondering if that's...
I have no explanation for it, but it is indeed. You have to say Candyman's name 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
Or... you say Helen 5 times. That happens also. Spoiler. But that's all I have for the facts. So we can get into that nitty gritty now, unless there's something else you want to mention.
No, that's all I got. Let's get it.
Candyman.
That's a matter of opinion, and I don't give a fuck about yours.
It's funny. I literally just said this, but now we're recording. That you said, it's not how you remembered it. Because
yeah.
I text you before I watched it, and I said, this movie is not how I remembered it.
Yeah.
Because it's not. To be fair, I watched it as a kid, and I've only seen it in bits and pieces since being an adult. But from Candyman being said 5 times to Helen basically becoming a new Candyman at the end, that's just not how I remembered it.
So here's my theory on that, real quick, before we get any deeper.
Okay.
You saying Helen becoming the new Candyman. I think Helen becomes Bloody Mary.
Okay.
I mean, it's because I wish her name would have been Mary in this movie, and he would have done it that way, because it would have been a cool twist for that part of the movie. You know, because like we just said in the opening part of it is, you know, Bloody Mary and Candyman were kind of popular around the same time. So it was like, it'd be kind of cool if they had done it that way. Maybe, oh, they did do a remake. So it's like, maybe they do a remake, they'll make it Bloody Mary. But I do, like, I think that was pretty cool in the movie, how they do all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of shit this movie's interesting for.
Alright, well, real quick, continuing my thought, though, it's still, even though I don't remember it the way, it's still a good movie. Mm-hmm. And I can see how it'd be frightening to some. I just wasn't expecting that when I sat down to watch it. That's not what I was expecting at all. You had this, we're going to get right into it, I'm going to ask you. You had this as your number 2 on your slasher list. Is it still, you think it's still going to hold that number 2 spot?
Probably not. It probably moved down.
Okay.
But, you know, it's, I base it on my number 2 by what I remember from the movie.
Yeah.
But after being refreshed, it's like, well, it wasn't that good of a movie. It was a really good concept of a movie.
Okay. Fair enough. All right.
But I'm not saying that it's off my top 10 totally, but it's...
Not a complete fall from grace, but possibly fall. Okay, well, we'll hear more about that. I just wanted to get right to it there. Mm-hmm. This was Erica's first time that she's ever seen it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, she'd never seen it before. Normally, you mentioned this in our last review about Britney. Normally, Erica will sit on her phone and watch movies. I'm doing air quotes, guys. But I could tell that she was actually into it because she wasn't on her phone that for most part of the movie. And that says something for a movie.
Yeah.
Especially one from the early 90s. Good Lord. But I asked her what she thought about it, and she said, it's a good movie. It definitely didn't go where I thought it was going to go. And she also mentioned how she expected him to go after more people, opposed to being just focused on Helen. Mm-hmm. Which I agree with that statement, but understanding the backstory, or reasoning, or whatever you want to call it, of why he focused on Helen, it makes sense. So,
yeah.
But I definitely didn't remember that part from watching it as a kid myself, so.
Question, though.
Yeah.
So Tony Todd wrote this whole backstory for Candyman, pretty much.
Wouldn't say wrote it. He created the backstory, yeah. Because the movie comes from the short story, mm-hmm. which I forget what it's called. But so it was a short story. It didn't have that much, like, character development or whatever.
This movie would have a completely different outcome if it wasn't for his recommendation, because the backstory is he got this girl pregnant and they fell in love and he got pregnant and got
white girl. Let's put it white girl.
Yeah, and they cut his arm off and all this stuff. And the reason that he's attracted, that he's focusing on Helen, because she's the white girl in the past life. So it's like, if his backstory never was there, where the maybe he would have killed more people.
Maybe.
And maybe he would have just killed people saying his name.
Or they were trying to get Eddie Murphy. Maybe it was going to be a fucking comedy. Who knows?
Yeah. Candyman. Some wild shit. I'll tell you that.
But yeah, you're right. This, real quick. This is, I guess, I say real quick a lot. Sorry. That's my thing.
That's your t-shirt. That's
season 1 was absolutely... Season 2, real quick. So, real quick. this is the only slasher with a black serial killer, okay? I know we're in opinions, but to my knowledge, this has never been done before or since in the history of film, aside from, like, the recent Candyman, obviously, the remake. I can't explain this, because it's not like there aren't actors out there with the ability to play the roles. maybe they just don't want to, or maybe the roles aren't being written. If it's the second case, get your shit together, Hollywood. Like, seriously, because I'd love to see a black Michael Myers. Yeah. That's just the first, the Michael Myers is the first one I think of. I'm not one to give a shit about skin color, but I think it would open up like a whole new fucking wave of movies and give opportunities to people that haven't had them. Imagine 50 Cent as Leatherface.
Oh, shit.
just my two cents.
So,
hold on. See what I did there? Seriously, though. Could you imagine, like, the reaction if Ghost... The new screen. If Ghostface takes off his mask and it's Michael B. Jordan. Do you know who Michael B. Jordan is?
Yeah.
Okay. So, the new screen, right? At one point in the movie, he unmasks. It's fucking Michael B. Jordan.
It would definitely... I mean...
And he can play that fucking role.
Yeah, he could.
Sorry, go ahead.
Not to lawyer you.
Mm-hmm.
But... It's usually white people that are crazy enough to do this kind of stuff.
See, I thought you were going to say the stereotype that black people are afraid of scary movies, so they wouldn't want to be that. But,
no,
okay, fair enough. White people are...
Most fucking
serial killers are white guys. Yeah. Fair enough.
I mean, you have, like, the gay Ted Bundy. You got, like, all, like... I don't know.
What did you just say?
I said Ted Bundy, I meant...
What did you say before that, though?
Mm-hmm.
You prefaced Ted Bundy with something else. What did you say?
The gay Ted Bundy.
The gay... What?
I meant, what's his name? Jeffrey Dahmer. That's what I meant. The gay
okay.
Jeffrey Dahmer. But, like, I was thinking about this earlier, too. Like, same thing with the Final Girl.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see that many black Final Girls. You see some nowadays, but not as much as you should.
It goes back to the trope. The black guy always dies first.
Yeah.
Not a black Final Girl... But a black final guy, technically. Get out.
That's literally what I was thinking. Like, well, there was a final guy. So, but, like, it's just, you know, that I think it would be cool to see more of these. Because Tony Todd, I mean, not only was he an excellent actor for this movie, he played a key role, like, with helping with the storyline of this movie. Like,
yeah, right?
Like, can you imagine Morgan Freeman as a serial killer? I would.
He could be like the most intelligent, fucking cool, calm, fucking serial killer ever, and I would 100% buy it. Not to mention, I would love it.
Yeah, exactly. Or Denzel.
And
oh my god.
Again, I'm not one to care about fucking skin color, so I don't want it to come off that I do. But let's be honest, these people are being robbed of fucking roles that I think they would probably be pretty fucking good in.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I know you drop a name.
I say these people. You know what I mean?
I keep name dropping different ones, and I can't not say Will Smith.
Yeah.
Will Smith as a serial killer in some kind of movie would be phenomenal.
Because you normally see him as the superhero or whatever,
exactly.
So he could play that opposite situation. I did see when I originally had this thought, Denzel, he's one of my favorite actors, so he popped up in my head, and he's played so many fucking excellent roles. However, he's one of those. He plays Denzel roles.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that I can see him doing it, but that's why I brought up Michael B. Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's a younger, more recent actor, and he's got the same acting ability, in my opinion, as a Denzel.
Yeah.
I could see him doing it, and I would be...
Hollywood, get the brothers killing. Let's go.
While we're talking about it, why aren't there any fucking female slasher movies? Why can't fucking Jessica Biel play a fucking killer instead of the final girl? Let's switch the roles a little bit here.
Yeah, but like,
why is it always white men? We're not that fucking bad, are we?
The Devil's Rejects, House of Thousand Corpses. You know, there's a woman in there that is doing the killing.
I agree. I mean, I'm talking about a solo, but I got you.
Harley Quinn.
She's not a serial killer.
I know, but but you know what I mean, like. Nothing against women at all, because obviously the roles they play are great, but I just want to see more black men or black women. I want to see Barack Obama be a serial killer in a movie.
Let's go.
That's my favorite. But,
okay, since we're talking about race and stuff, what do serial killer movies or slasher movies in other countries look like? Or do they not have them? I'm not knowledgeable about that. I look at the numbers.com and I see what things are, but I have never went that in depth to see, okay, like, is there Japanese slasher movies? Like,
coming from someone that's been out of the country, you.
Yes.
I feel like you would know this answer more than I do, because I've...
Well, it wasn't really a question. I guess it was a rhetorical question. Mm-hmm. No, I guess it was a question. I don't fucking know. I don't know. The answer to that is I don't know. I have been out of the country, but I've never... I went to one... I was in Italy. I went to one Italian movie because I was with my stripper girlfriend. She was Italian, and she understood the movie. I didn't whatsoever, so that's the only reason I went. But if there's any listeners that are from another country, do you have, like, slasher movies? What does a slasher movie there look like? Or do you just watch ours? Are us fucking psycho Americans the only ones that make these
movies? I think they do. I think they just get translated to the I don't know, what's the correct terminology? Native language of that country?
Maybe. I don't know.
I know, like Mexico, it just gets translated to Spanish. I know they watch all these movies and stuff.
Right. But do they have their own? Like, do they have their own... of their ethnicity, they're fully all of them.
I don't know. That'd be good to know.
Right. That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on from the race thing. I don't want to turn it into that. That's what I'm saying, so.
But if Hollywood catches wind of this podcast, can we get Michael B. Jordan or Will Smith or someone even Hispanic or, you know, or Japanese, like, serial killers.
Yeah. And if it's just the whole, you're afraid that you don't, or people aren't going to go see it because a bunch of white people die, that's fucking false. I will go see it tomorrow, and I know plenty of people. I don't give a fuck if they kill a bunch of white people. Don't turn it into that's why they're killing them, because then it's a whole different type of movie.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it the slasher base, and it doesn't matter what fucking color they are.
Yeah, let's go. Let's get some new age. It's 2022, so let's get it. We're on the verge of 2022.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of that, we never said Happy Merry Christmas. We never said Happy New Year or anything. So right here in the middle of the facts, let's go ahead. Let's tell everyone Happy fucking New Year, late belated Merry Christmas, all those things. Happy Hanukkah.
Happy holidays. We'll just say that.
Kwanzaa. Yes, happy holidays. I don't want to be politically incorrect. Or I don't want to be politically correct. I want to tell everyone their specific damn thing.
All right, I'll be back. You get to it.
Yeah, I'm with you. Happy holidays, guys. All right, back to the facts. So...
No, we're in opinions.
That's what I said. Back to the opinions.
The facts of our opinions.
Okay, so... Early on, I'm going to try to get this train back on its track. Early on, when watching, I felt with Candyman, by the way, if anybody forgot, we're talking about 1992's Candyman.
Mm-hmm.
Early on, when I was watching, I felt the acting was a bit cheesy. Okay? I came around to it. I think they just came off cheesy. Let me know what you think. I think they just came off cheesy in the beginning because the story was building and they were trying to give dimension to, like, the characters and their relationships with one another. Agree? Yeah. Okay. I mean, did you feel like the acting was cheesy at some point in time?
For some of them, I kept an open mind because it was 1992, so, like, you know, a lot of 90s movies are, you know, cheesy. But, you know, like you said, like, you come around to it, and when the action actually happens, it's good acting.
Okay. With that being said about the cheesiness and how I came around to it, could they have gotten any more fucking absurd? Here, back to race. Son of a bitch. Could they have gotten any more absurd with, like, the snooty, rich, white characters? Like, especially that tub of lard that uses big fancy words, but says absolutely fuck nothing at the dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when Helen says they're going to bury him. I have no clue what his name is. He's Professor or something.
Yeah.
Professor Dumbledore. Who the fuck knows?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, like, just those characters... I was like, really? Really? Couldn't we just have, like, a normal white person? We really have to have these uppity fucking douchebags?
Like, I was thinking that Helen was part of that uppity, and then I also thought that Bernadette was, like, the uppity black friend that she had, you know? And then I realized that they were students.
Well, Helen's married to the professor. That's why they're at that dinner or whatever, but...
Yeah, she is married to that piece of shit. Trevor.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, so... We've strayed away from, like, our perverted ways of season one, even though we kind of got back into it on the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but can't you blame us? But anyway, so we've strayed away from those perverted ways in efforts to attract sponsors, but we are still men, so we have to mention it. We got a little boob action in the movie.
Oh, the fan service was wonderful.
And they weren't too bad, okay? Aside from her short-ass haircut.
As soon as I realized she had short hair, I was going to say, Nathan's going to say, you know, something about this short hair.
Y'all know I hate short hair look on women, all right? That's that. But besides that, Virginia Madsen was pretty easy on the eyes. And like I said, she had nice little boobs. Yeah. And then towards the end of the movie, we got through the shirt boobage on the young girl.
Yeah.
Taylor, I think, was her name or whatever. I don't know. But just we got to mention the boob action. It's a slasher film, because, I mean, slashers are known for boobs, you know? And we got some.
It was some good fan service.
Good. Question for you, okay? I hope you have your tie on, because you're about to lawyer me. Or so that you can lawyer me. How on earth did the baby survive after Candyman stole it? We know he had the baby for at least more than a month because Helen was said to have been in the hospital for that long. So the baby stayed in one spot, was in the cold of Chicago, not being fed, changed, nurtured in any fucking way, but was still perfectly healthy when it was shown later.
It can be assumed that Candyman was feeding the baby honey. When he put his finger up to his lips.
Was that what he was doing? See, I thought that was so weird that he just did... Yeah. Okay.
That was my assumption that he was giving the baby
good money. Assumption. He's got his tie on, guys.
Yeah. As far as the cold and everything, they didn't ever show the baby without a fire next to the baby, so I'm assuming, you know, that's how he kept him warm.
Okay.
How he changed the diaper with one hand, I'm not a parent, so I don't know how that works, but, you know.
It's something you gotta master, but...
But yeah, it definitely is. It's a crazy fucking movie, especially because he's technically not even real. You know, like he's a ghost of the past. Or whatever.
Before we move on to that, real quick, I just got one more question about the baby.
All right.
Why did it only cry when the mother was around? What was the little lady doing to that poor baby? Did you notice that? The only time the baby cried was when the mother was holding it, or.
I don't know that. Just...
When it was the fire or whatever, that started to cry there. But besides that, the baby's just a cute little baby, smiling and loving life.
He was chilling in that little dungeon, in the candy dungeon. Maybe that's why he was feeding him candy and honey. He just was like, yeah, I'm fucking good at air.
Okay, there you go. You brought up the candy. So one more question. Last question for you. He is called the Candyman. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're shown a pile of candy with razor blades inside. One time only. Why the hell is he called the Candyman?
Brittany even asked me that.
Was B-Boy taken?
Yeah. I don't know. Or Honeyman? I honestly don't know, but talking more about the Candyman's character with the backstory and everything, they do mention that he's an artist, like, back in the day or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, am I supposed to, like, portray that all the paintings that are on the wall, was Candyman doing the paintings? Or was it some other graffiti artist that was painting? I don't know.
I didn't, like, think of it that way. I mean, to be honest, I do, after you said it, I remember him saying something about him being an artist or whatever, but I didn't even put that much thought into that part of it.
Yeah.
And them being in the gangland of Chicago or whatever, yeah. I assumed it was all graffiti and they obviously believe. I mean, the one painting of Candyman where the hole is open for his mouth or whatever.
Yeah.
That maybe. I don't know. That's a good question though.
Yeah, I was just I couldn't stop thinking about that, especially when she went up, like climbed up the thing, at that one point, and then she goes in and there's like you see like the quote unquote villagers chasing the original guy, like, I was just like, I mean, that's something that I feel is perceived through his memory, you know, like the folklore. I mean, I guess it does explain that he was chased by the villagers and his arm cut off and stuff, but it just looked like it was more of a one person perspective than like, well, something they heard.
At the end, after it's revealed that Helen has become whatever she's become, it goes to the painting of now is of her.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe a change with, or maybe it's just the people of the neighborhood or whatever, that's what they believed in or whatever, so that's why they painted it, and then now they believe it's her, so they paint. I don't know. But yeah,
I just had, that was my question, because I was just
question. I agree.
I don't know why they called him Candyman, but
don't know why they called him Candyman. Don't know why he is an artist, but hey,
yeah,
it is what it is. Several, you said Brittany did watch it because she asked why they're called. Okay, so tell me if this is, if she said anything similar to this, because several times throughout the movie, Erica would say this crazy bitch. Like, several times, she'd be like, this crazy bitch! I couldn't help but laugh. She's right, though. Helen just goes into known gang-infested areas, crawls through openings and walls that you couldn't fucking pay me to crawl through. And, like, the when she goes into that bathroom, the whatever that area is called, the outdoor fucking thing where she opens the stalls and finds the bees and
yeah,
the big pile of fucking shit. Like, this bitch is crazy. There's...
Yeah.
She's definitely up there with crazy bitches in movies. That's...
Yeah.
But did Brittany ever say anything like that during the movie?
She like, sucks her teeth. She's like...
And that's, so you probably heard that a lot then.
Yeah, but that's... I mean, that is, like... When she goes... Like, I can say with my opinion, since this is our opinion section, the reason that she does all those is because she's, you know, she's trying to get a good story. She's like, you see how she like pretty much creams her panties when she said they're gonna publish this, and she's like, they're gonna publish it, and then like the next thing you know, she like wakes up with a...
Speaking of that, did it ever get published?
I don't think so, because Bernadette's body was found with all those pictures all over it, so. But I was trying to get to the Rottweiler head with the meat cleaver. You know, we talk about Jessica Biel cutting off Leatherface's arm with the meat cleaver last week.
Mm-hmm.
And then this week, fucking Virginia Madison, a.k.a. Helen Lyle, cuts off the Rottweiler's head, quote-unquote. Like, you know, they...
Well, it wasn't actually her.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But you know what I mean? It's just funny, like... The meat cleaver strikes again.
That's axe crazy. It's not an axe, but it would fall under that trope. So,
yeah.
Speaking of weapons, is it the hook or the bees that give Candyman his powers? I asked this because I always thought the connection, I always thought it was the connection with the bees. But in the end, we see the boy drop the hook into Helen's grave, and Helen then becomes the killer. She comes back and kills Trevor, which was another awesome fucking scene, especially at the bloodbath afterwards.
Yeah.
But yeah, what do you think?
Honestly, I don't have an opinion for that, because there's a part where Candyman like kisses her with the bees in his mouth, so she has the bees in her too. So. Is what is it? Like, it just leaves, that's room for opinions and interpretation. You know,
okay.
That's one of the things I liked about the movie was like,
okay,
there's a lot of things that you're like, ooh, wait, what about this? Like, skipping to the end of the movie, when, I mean, you brought it up when Helen kills Trevor.
Mm-hmm.
And girl, I'm gonna call her, I'm just gonna say girlfriend, because I don't remember.
It's Taylor, for sure it's Taylor.
Okay, so Taylor opens the door, and she's got a butcher knife in her hand, she starts screaming. It's like, oh, that's pretty much what happened to Helen, you know? Like, it's just a vicious cycle. Like, it's just something that I like in the movie. Like, you know.
There are three of these, and I know that I watched this one and Farewell to the Flesh when I was younger. I don't know if I ever seen the third one. Have you seen either one of them?
Myth of Candyman's?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Okay. I don't remember what happened, and then I'll be perfectly honest. But Erica already said she wants to watch the other ones. So I'll be watching them here shortly. Mm-hmm. I'll let you know if they continue with that, or if it's something completely different. So.
Yeah. You were talking about how she was in a trans state, like where she was hypnotized. Mm-hmm. I actually like that aspect of it because it's just different from your normal movie, you know, like where she was like kind of hypnotized by his voice.
Okay, I get what you're saying. Because I liked the aspect of it. I guess just why it was bothering me is because it didn't make any sense, because it never like gave any explanation whatsoever to why she just suddenly froze. I mean, I guess when he first sees her, or when she first sees him, and she says, or he says, Helen, or whatever, I guess maybe. I don't know. It just, to me, it threw me off. I was like, this makes no sense. Why is she freezing up like this? Why is she fainting?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I thought I liked the whole, like, his voice in, like, a dream state is what it seemed like to me, you know? Like, I thought that when she goes to the psych thing and he, like, floats, I thought that was funny. But then, like, when the doctor, shows her the video and you don't see him, it's like, you start thinking, like, is this all in her head? Like, mm-hmm. It's kind of like a psychological thriller in a way. So it's like, And then she goes, I'll prove it. And she says his name. And then you don't think anything's going to happen. All of a sudden, he just, he gets
gutted.
He got the hook. He became the worm, pretty much.
You were talking about him floating there in that one scene. If you ever watch this back, I don't know if you ever will or not, but if you ever watch it, or if any of our listeners watch it, pay attention, that haven't seen it, pay attention. The Candyman, when he moves or walks or whatever, doesn't have a sound of footsteps. No. That was intentionally done. Mm-hmm. Like, they took the sound of him walking out for that. Added, like, how you said, fuck, you just said it, and I can't remember how you said it, but is it real, or is it in her head?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
The psychological thriller aspect of it. Yeah. You know, I think that, like, and those minor details could be what made this movie even better than, you know, what it could have been. Like, if they would have had, like, his footsteps, or, like, you know, like...
Minor details can make or break a movie. I agree.
So the thug, I'm assuming you call him thug, the gang member in the bathroom that hits her with a hook.
Mm-hmm. I heard you're looking for Candyman, bitch.
Yeah, who the fuck is he? Like, he's just, like, the lead gang dude?
He's one of the gang members.
Is he selling candy, quote-unquote candy, and, like, just using the name Candyman so he can sell his drugs?
No, I see what you're saying. I don't think that there was any, like, real tie in there. Mm-hmm. I think the only reason that it was shown was to show that she's in this bad neighborhood where the gangs mm-hmm. rule or whatever, and he wanted to go beat the fuck out of her.
Yeah, he had the hook and everything.
That eye healed up really quick, though.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. It looked like she got hit by Mike Tyson. Like, damn, that fucking...
It could have also been a distraction for the audience, like first-time viewers or whatever, to think, oh, that's the Candyman.
Yeah.
Because if you haven't seen the movie, or you don't know anything that's going to happen, I can see how, okay, that's... Wow. And then you find out, that's not the Candyman.
Yeah. So. I like the whole doctor's office thing, seeing Candyman, or the psychiatric place, and him not being on the tape, I was like, oh, so if you're not in the presence of someone that says Candyman 5 times, you don't see him. And then she says it, and then he gets killed. And I was just like, well, how come Bernadette's not getting touched? And then she just gets fucking, like, her body looked wild.
Yeah.
When they showed it, I was like...
Unfortunate that happened off screen, but...
Yeah, it probably was to avoid an empty seat, whatever.
Maybe, yeah.
Because the motherfuckers don't like to show everything.
Yeah, you want to get into our favorites and stuff, or do you got some more you want to talk about first?
Yeah, we can get to the favorites.
Okay.
You go first this time, because I went first last time.
Which one? You want to do favorite scene, favorite line, favorite character, least favorite character? That scared the shit out of me again. If you guys can't hear it, there's an air conditioner outside of his home in this new office that we're in, and it made a very loud, almost hissing sound. Scared this shit out of me just now.
We did say Cam Man a few too many times already.
You have to look in, that's another thing. You have to look to a mirror, or do you just say Candyman?
I think you have to be in the presence of a mirror.
Presence of a mirror, okay.
Because
no that's, reflection at all?
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay. Oh, real quick before we get into this. So, there were real killings that happened that way. Like, there was in that area. I think it was that area. Chicago. The mirror was removed, and there was a hole, and a person got in to kill people.
Oh.
So that was a legitimate thing. And then also the Bloody Mary thing. I think I read somewhere that those two things were combined to create this. So.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, makes sense. Well, I figured, let's start with favorite character.
Favorite character. Can you say anybody besides Candyman?
Yeah, that's true. He's just all around good, and then knowing what he did off screen too for the movie is makes it 10 times better. Tony Todd.
The movie was named after him for a reason. So okay, Candyman. Well, so we're both saying Candyman. Okay. Yeah. What next? Pick another one.
Least favorite character.
Least favorite character? Okay, and I've already kind of mentioned it. Professor, whatever the fuck his name is. He never gets him killed. Or he never gets killed, unfortunately, either. However, he is in only one scene. Well, two, because he's there at her funeral. But one dialogue scene, which is the dinner.
And he lays the whole backstory for Candyman.
Yeah. But he's still a dude.
He's irrelevant, except for the fact that he laid the backstory for Candyman. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah. Besides what you just I'm not really sure what his role is, though. He's annoying as fuck. I have unneeded, but...
Yeah.
Someone else could have did that. I don't know. Someone else could have gave a backstory. But Helen's husband, Trevor, is a dorky piece of shit, too. I just want to put that out there. And no way in hell... any student was chasing that fucking guy.
Yeah.
I said that from the opening. I was like, get the fuck out of here. No, this girl does. Because it's obvious that scene where he's talking to her and the other two students, or it's obvious that that's a thing right there. Yeah. Like, you knew that if you're a movie watcher at all.
Yeah.
Erica knew it. So, no. Bullshit. If he was fucking Jesse from
Breaking Bad.
I don't watch Breaking Bad now.
No.
Fuck, what's his name? From Full House, Uncle Jesse.
Yeah.
If he was, I would be okay. Girls, I get it, like him.
Yeah.
But not that fucking doofus. Sorry, we're only his favorite character, and I've got two of them. It's those two.
He's my least favorite character, is Trevor.
Okay.
Because in my eyes, he's got a baddie, and he's just chasing the younger version that isn't. In my opinion, that is attractive. I think Helen was the eye candy of the movie, so...
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I don't know. I mean, Bernadette...
The short hair killed it for me.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Bernadette was alright.
She was! Her little friend was a little...
Yeah.
Okay.
Which, that's the part of the where you're talking about, is just kind of getting off of least favorite thing, but, you're talking about when she goes, she's crazy bitch, whatever... When they pull her to the ghetto, the black girl is trying to talk her out of going to the ghetto, go into these apartments. I thought that was ironic, not nothing against black people at all, but you know what I mean,
I got you.
Every situation that I've ever been into, where I go into the ghetto area, it's never my black friends that are trying to stop me from going, because we, as skateboarders, we skate a lot of bad areas. And, that's just how it is. Jerry and everyone was like, nah, dude, don't go in there. He's always what's wrong?
But if he did, you would know, okay, not going there. Yeah, that's what you're saying. I gotcha. Yeah.
Like, if my black friend said no, then I would not go. If my white friend said no, I would question their judgment.
The black guy said don't go, then no.
I trust my friend's judgments. Unless they're white.
Well, I have no... Unless they're white? What the fuck? I'm sorry. I have no favorite line. I mean, that really rings a bell. It's normally you that says you don't have a favorite line, but I just can't really think of one specific line other than just repeating Candyman. That's kind of the go-to, I guess.
That's the go-to.
He says a lot of weird things. That's probably my only... Like, Candyman's dialogue is a little weird to me. Yeah. I get why, because he's from this past time or whatever, but just a little weird. So, I don't have a favorite line.
Yeah, I don't either. Another one of my favorite characters is the little boy.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's like he's a little badass when he's coming out there with that little stick with the rag on it. Like, yeah, we about to burn this motherfucker down, Kiki. And something that I find offsetting, I guess you could say, was at Helen's funeral, Trevor is sitting there with Taylor. I was just like, that is... You're dying. Like,
one fucking douchebag.
One of you are dying. Yeah. Like, that's for sure.
Yep.
And this is gonna sound racist, but it was so funny. Brittany laughed at me for saying it, but at the funeral, when they're like lowering the casket and then everybody from the building shows up, I looked at Brittany like, let them black people show up late.
We're canceled. We're never doing another one of these again.
No, it's. You know, I can be a comedian. We actually recorded this podcast in 92, so it was okay then.
I did open it with saying we have to go back to the past. Mm-hmm. All right, moving on.
My mom's way later than any black person I've ever met, so if anybody knows what I'm talking about.
Favorite scene. Let's move on.
My favorite scene in the movie is when Trevor gets killed.
Just simply because Trevor's getting killed, or because you like the bloodbath afterwards?
I like the bloodbath. I like
literally the bloodbath.
Yeah. Literally, I think everything about that scene, because I can see somebody that's upset about their previous spouse, like, even if they were cheating on them and stuff, dying, like, you're going to sit there and say their name, like, you know, like why'd you leave me? But the way he said it is a little weird. You know, like, Helen. Like, it's just like, I can see somebody saying somebody's name, like, in their head.
But why was he saying? Okay, I was getting ready to ask you this, but first, I gotta point this out also. And again, Erica, before I could even say anything, said he's gonna say it five. He said it twice, I think. And mm-hmm. she's like, he's gonna say it five times and she's gonna appear.
Mm-hmm.
So, good job, Erica. Mm-hmm. But, so you didn't find that whole idea corny, that she comes back, or that he said her name in the mirror five times?
It's a way of, I mean, Candyman has been saying it, they're going to be saying our story. Mm-hmm. So, like, I kind of had that idea in my head, like, and like I said, I haven't seen this since, like, probably the 90s or early 2000s, I don't know when it was we watched this. I'm pretty sure I watched this with you.
It was the 90s, because I haven't watched it recently. So.
But it's, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, well done, because...
Okay. I thought it was... One, I was like, why is he saying her name? Why is it... Like, you kind of just said, why is he saying it that way?
Mm-hmm.
I guess he's... Because it kind of flashes back, so he's reminiscing or whatever, so mm-hmm. I guess that explains why he's saying it that way. But why five times?
Mm-hmm.
Again, I know why he said it five times. Yeah. But just realistically, like, why? Why? And then I thought, I too knew that it was going to happen. But I thought it was kind of corny that mm-hmm. she would reappear. And the way she looked, that was... Like, I know...
Like she had cornrows or something?
I know she burnt... Yeah. I know she got her hair burnt or whatever. But I don't know. That's... I did not like it. That was kind of corny to me. But, alright. My favorite scene, you mentioned it earlier, and when you mentioned it, My eyes got wide and I smirked a little bit. It's when Candyman exposes his torso filled with bees and then kisses Helen with the bees filled with his bees filled in his mouth, which didn't mention this in the facts, but those were real bees also, and it took him 30 minutes to fill his mouth.
Oh, shit.
He had a device in there or whatever to protect from some stings.
Yeah.
He still got stung in his mouth, and it took 30 minutes to get them in his mouth. Anyways, very unique scene, and I thought it was pretty good for a 1992 movie.
Yeah.
So, that's my favorite scene. That fucking exposing of his torso, though, and seeing it, I was like, okay, all right.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff that, like, they did as far as stuff like that, like exposing the torso, the dog's head on the floor, the professor's body being ripped and shit like that. Like, I just thought that for a 1992 movie, those were pretty epic.
Yeah.
Ahead of their time, if you will.
You want me to give you a kill count?
Yeah, send it. That's my thing this season, is send it. Let's get it.
That's not right. Yeah, okay. I'll just give it first and then I'll give you the total. So, Clara, she's killed off screen by Candyman. That's in the opening where the girl's telling the story, and it shows the girl who I didn't think was very pretty, and the brawl or whatever with her boyfriend. She goes into the restroom and says, it's the very beginning of the movie. She says Candyman 5 times, and then the boyfriend goes to the boyfriend and the blood splatters down or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's Claire. So she's killed off screen. Bernadette is also killed off screen by Candyman. So that's 2 for Candyman right now. Dr. Burke, killed by Candyman. That one's not off screen. We actually got to see that one. And then Candyman is killed by the bonfire. Helen also killed by the bonfire. Then Trevor killed by Helen. So that's 3 total kills for Candyman and 1 for Helen, for a total of 4 by the killers and a total of 6 altogether. But
missing 2.
What 2 am I missing?
The what was her name? The one that they're talking about that got killed in the apartments, so the room that they keep going into.
You can include that,
yeah,
but that's not actually part of the movie.
Yeah, but it's a death that they talk about, and then the little boy in the bathroom or whatever.
He didn't die. He just got his junk cut off.
Oh, that's right. You're right.
Yeah, at least they never said that he died. So, yeah.
So
if you want to throw those in there, but I've got Candyman 3. I mean, if you want to, you throw the dog in there because the dog fucking died, but. So there you go for the kill count. Only fucking 1 kill by Candyman on screen.
Yeah.
But still good.
I mean, look at Saul. Look how many times Jigsaw actually killed somebody in that movie that we reviewed. So there were still good movies. It just, for this movie, it was kind of wild. I bet, like, the second one or the third one, I bet there's way more kills in it.
Maybe. I'll let you know, because yeah. It looks like I'll be watching it. But. Well, there you go. You, ready to get into the tropes?
Oh, yeah. Trope, there it is section. Let's go.
There are certain rules that one must abide by in order to successfully survive a horror movie. For instance, 1. You can never have sex.
And then John was a zombie. When a character, frequently a protagonist, is turned into the very thing he or she has been fighting all along, you can say,
trope, there it is.
Helen wasn't necessarily fighting Candyman, but her trials and tribulations throughout the movie eventually turned her into a killer nonetheless. And then Helen was a zombie. So, bugs herald evil. Often, stories and movies use insects, arachnids, or other arthropods to indicate a greater evil. They are pretty fucking gross, so I guess it makes sense. I prefer my evil not to be smaller than my boogers, though. Bees are a significant part of the urban legend surrounding Candyman. So Bugs Herald Evil. Dating what daddy hates. This trope is frequently seen in American television and movies when a teenage daughter brings home or is picked up by a date that her father would never, ever approve of for various different reasons. You can let whoever you are watching the movie with know.
Trope therapy.
Trope therapy. In Candyman, this trope is used a little more darker than in other movies that it's, that typically is used in. Candyman was killed by a lynch mob led by a white guy who was furious that Candyman had impregnated his daughter. So, like I said, a little darker than what it normally is used, but still, dating what daddy hates. Evil sounds deep. I believe we've covered this before, but I'm not sure. However, an easy way to tell if someone is evil is if their voice is much deeper than the good characters. Mm-hmm. If so, boom. That's the evil character and trope. There it is. Tony Todd, who plays Candyman, has a naturally very deep voice. So he has to play the bad guy, right? Mm-hmm. We kind of touched on it. Like, he was perfectly cast. Bonus trope. Evil is bigger also applies to Tony Todd and Candyman. So, evil sounds deep. Evil is bigger. Mm-hmm. There you go. Lastly, Hook Hand. We can't review Candyman and not mention this trope. It's pretty self-explanatory. If a character has a hook for a fucking hand, there's your trope. Yeah. Do people, like, really have hooks? Like, for hands? Have you ever met a person or seen a person that has a hook for a hand?
Not in, like, in real life, no. But I've seen, like, plenty of stories and movies where people have hook for
hands. Right, that's something, like, in real life, though. Where did that come from?
I don't know.
Anyways, Candyman and his hook go hand in hand.
See what you did there. It's a good hook.
Trope, there it is. We've got, and then John was a zombie, Bugs Herald Evil, dating what daddy hates, evil sounds deep, bonus trope, evil is bigger, and then hook hand. That's your five tropes for Candyman.
Isn't the killer on my nose who did last summer have a hook too?
Does he? I don't think he has a hook. I think he just carries a fishing hook as a weapon. I don't think his hands actually. I can't remember. I haven't watched it for a while. But I feel like he's, because he's a fisherman.
Yeah.
So I think he just uses the fish hook.
Okay. Well played, I guess, game.
I'm curious to know if, like, there's anybody that really has a hook for a hand.
Like,
why would you want that?
Especially not in 2021/22. Like, the prosthetics are ridiculous nowadays. So.
But even back in the 1900s, or I guess that's not that far. I mean, that's far. Even a long, long time ago, why on earth would someone get their hand cut off and say, "I'm going to put a hook here"?
He didn't. That's
well, I know.
I was going to say the folklore.
But I'm just talking about, like,
in general, yeah.
In general, like, why was that ever a thought?
Mm-hmm. It might just be for horror movies. It might be a trope on its own.
I need to do some research and find out where that came from. Like, did Peter Pan and Captain Hook, is that what started it? Or, I'm genuinely curious.
I don't know.
All right. So, ready to give our five hooks review?
Let's do it. This one is yours. Yours to take the lead on.
Right, okay. Yeah, because this is technically both of ours. It was number 2 on yours and number 9 on mine. Okay, so for uniqueness, I'm going to make that a category for points this week because it is very unique. The story, the concept, the fact that there is a black serial killer being used also. I don't want to put a bunch of emphasis on that, but it's all just, it's different, it's unique. I think that deserves one single point on its own.
Mm-hmm.
I think the, still staying with the idea of uniqueness. I think the story was just unique and different from anything that we've seen in the past. And really, even now, I don't think there's anything that's tried to follow that trend. So, it gets a 1. Acting, I said that I thought at the beginning it was a little bit cheesy, but I explained why I think I came around to it. And Tony Todd as Candyman, perfect role. I enjoyed Helen. The fat Tuttle Art is the only one that I was bothered by in Trevor. So I'm going to give acting. I'm going to give acting a 1, I think. Yeah, I'll give acting a 1. So we're at a 2. Dialogue, I said this already. The dialogue from Candyman specifically threw me off. It took me out of it a little bit. I hate to be taken out of movies. I understand it was... He's from the olden times, or whatever you want to call it. But it was just a little too weird for me. So I'm actually going to take points away for dialogue. I'm only going to take a 0.5 point away. But I can't give it positive. And I feel like it needs... Because it bothered me that much. Let's put it that way. So a 0.5 point taken off. So we're at 1.5 now. The gore... Although we didn't get to see the actual gore, the aftermath of it, specifically Bernadette's dead body, and then Trevor at the end, the bloodbath, that deserves a point. It probably would have got more if I would have actually been able to see what happened.
Yeah.
But we didn't, so I'm at
2.5.
All right. And then, so I've done uniqueness, acting, dialogue, gore. So, would you say concept is like concept and story?
I feel like that's like, because you kind of included that with the uniqueness of it, so. Maybe cinematography?
Sorry, I gotta think about this for a second here. I just want to make sure I'm being fair. I shouldn't have said uniqueness, because that kind of eliminates things. Okay, I'm gonna change my thing then. I'm gonna stick with uniqueness, but I'm gonna give it a 1.5. I feel that it deserves a 1.5. For uniqueness, since I combined so many things under that category.
Yeah.
So 1.5 for uniqueness, -0.5 for dialogue, so we're still at 1. 1 for acting, 1 for gore, so I'm at 3. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Am I doing math correctly? And then I'm going to give it 0.5 point for the score, because the music, back to uniqueness though, the music that's specifically made for when Candyman is lurking. It's kind of like the Halloween. It's not as known because there's been so many times it's been used in Halloween. But if you watch Candyman, you fucking know, oh, that's the music that plays when this motherfucker comes around. And it wasn't just something simple or stupid. It was whoever did that put some thought into it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give it a 0.5 point for that. So that's 3.5. Right?
That's 4.
Man, I'm not good at math here. Okay. 1.5 for uniqueness. -0.5 for dialogue brings me to 1. 1 for acting brings me to 2. 1 for gore brings me to 3. Fuck it. No. And then 0.5 point for the score. So 3.5. I'm going to give 1992's Candyman 3.5. I'm a little hard on this one.
Okay.
That's still a good movie.
Well, I'll start off with cinematography. I think that the way that they did a lot of this was really cool. I liked the scenes where she was taking photos and they actually showed you the photo. I hate when you watch a movie and they take pictures and they don't show you what the picture was that they took. it's quite fucking annoying. Like, it makes me, like, it's just stupid.
I agree. Real quick, though. That's what Erica said, this crazy bitch, a lot. I said, what the fuck is she taking pictures of? So, I like that you brought that up. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so, I'm going to give it a 1 for the cinematography aspect of the way they filmed everything. I mean, like, the intro when they're, like, I mean, you would assume that it's a drone, but, you know.
I hate to cut you off again. That's something I forgot to bring up. That shot that they used, it wasn't a drone, but I forget what it's called now, was one of the first times that was ever used. Mm-hmm. And it gave the overview of Chicago a beautiful shot. So,
that just adds the factor to it because of that. But I like those kind of shots, like whenever you're looking straight down at a road and you're kind of, it looks like you're following a car, but you're not. I like those kind of shots. With cinematography, with all that, I'm giving it a 1. With gore, I'm going to give it a 1 because, like, I just keep going back to the Rottweiler's head. But, like, the bloody dog, the professor, Bernadette's body, Bernadette's body, and then Trevor's death scene, you know, like, and then, like, the bees. Like, I guess that could be under cinematography, too, but...
Yeah.
But for gore, I'm going to put it under the bees, because knowing what he went through for the scenes of the bees, I'm giving it another 1, so I'm at 2. I always do cast, so I'll do cast, but I'm going to... like, combine it, so it's going to be cast/acting. So, cast, you said it, I'll say it too. Candyman picked the perfect role for that. Bernadette, she wasn't enough of a big role that, like, it could have been impacted any differently, so she, like, seems fine to me. Helen, I think she was, like, perfect for the role. Like, she just... made her, whenever she was, like, acting in the movie, it seemed like she nailed what they were doing. And the fact that she was put under hypnosis for certain parts of the movie, that makes it even crazier.
Yeah.
The professor, the likelihood of a student falling for a professor, when you said that, I was like, yeah, that's true. You know, I'm not really too shabby on that. Their acting, I didn't think that their acting was terrible. I mean, it was kind of cheesy, but again, like I said, I put myself in that time era, 92, like movies in the 90s. The acting was all kind of cheesy because I feel like that's when it was kind of like new to the actors and actresses in the industry, like doing horror movies. Like, at least the ones in this movie, I'm wondering.
I know what you're saying. Horror movies with more dialogue, with more character development, rather than just running and dying. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, like, I'm actually going to just give it a 0.5 for characters and acting, just because of that fact that, like, the dialogue wasn't really that great for the movie, but it was enough to let you understand the story and everything. So, what's that? A 1.5? Yeah, 1.5. Or no, 2.5, because I gave it a point for gore, point for cinematography, and 0.5 for acting / cast. What am I thinking next here? The ending of the movie, I thought that was fucking awesome. The fact that he died, he was my least favorite character, and seeing him at her funeral with his girlfriend pissed me off, but I knew that I was one of them are dying. So, the ending of the movie just, a release for me, so I'm going to give it a 1.
Okay.
And...
so 3.5?
Yeah, 3.5. I'm just like,
oh, you're ending it there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You said a few things. I'm not going to change my score. But you said a few things that, like, reminded me about the shot, the overhead shot of Chicago and other things like that. that I probably was a little too harsh. I probably could have gave it a little bit more, maybe a half more point.
Mm-hmm.
I think me choosing to go with uniqueness was detrimental to the rest of my score because I had to combine so much into that. But I think uniqueness needed to be said because it's just that fucking unique.
Yeah.
So 3.5 and a 3.5. That is a 7, which is still a good fucking score, especially for a 1992. And let's say it again. We say this often. At least this is something you say a lot. First of its kind.
Yeah.
I don't think there was anything like this prior to this.
No. Did they ever make a Bloody Mary movie? They should have.
You were talking about that earlier, like how it was popular at the same time. I imagine there has to be Bloody Mary movies. That's been in existence for a very, very long time. But a movie actually called Bloody Mary, I'm not sure of. We can find out, or our listeners can let us know.
Yep.
Where would they let us know, anyways?
On Instagram, Two Bros in a Review. You can give us a follow. We greatly appreciate it. You can see all of the wonderful pictures we post. You can also message us directly and ask us questions or tell us what you think about certain things. Or when I make a poll or anything like that on a story, you can respond that way. It's a great way for us to kind of stay connected with the community and, you know, get some feedback on what we could do better or what we need to stop doing. Two Bros in a Review on Instagram, best way. You can also get a hold of us on Twitter, Two Bros in a Review. I wouldn't say best way, but it is a way. So, you know, if you've got social media, you've either got Instagram or Twitter. So,
and if you have both, get on both of them and like, subscribe, follow, all those things that you do on socials. Social media, let's be honest, is a cesspool. But let's make it better. Let's build communities like we're trying to build here. You guys can help us do that. It's free to do. Another thing free that you guys can do is not watch. Actually, you can do that too, but we'll get to that later. Listen to us every week, Monday at noon, when we drop episodes and whenever we drop bonus episodes throughout the week. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Anchor, so many others. And that's Two Brothers in a Review. When you're wanting to listen, it's Two Brothers in a Review. When you're wanting to communicate, it's Two Bros in a Review.
There you go.
So, there's one other free thing that you guys can do to support us. Take it away, Kyle.
You can get on that Apple Podcast device, or any of your Apple devices, and get on the Apple Podcast. It's the purple icon with the antenna, with the radio frequencies leaving it, or coming to it, whichever way you want to look at it. And type in Two Brothers in a Review. Please go on there. Give us as many stars as you want. You can only give us no more than 5. We really appreciate 5 stars. And then you could also review the reviewers. You can, when you leave your stars, you can explain why you left the stars, which movie brought you into the podcast. Whatever you want to say, you can say on Two Brothers in a Review on Apple Podcast. And it's free. So, I mean, why not?
I believe Spotify also has a new star system or rating system. I'm not familiarized with it just yet, but I know that there is one. So if you're a Spotify listener, you can go there, help us beat the algorithms and climb the charts and whatnot. You know the deal.
Yes, indeed.
All free. We need your support. Trying to build this community. Help us and do those things for us.
While you're doing things for people, who else can they support?
They can support a couple of random guys in Florida. Mm-hmm. They go by the name of Those Random Guys, or TRG Network, on YouTube, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. If you want to watch them, it's on YouTube, TRG Network. If you want to listen to them, TRG Network. Spotify, all that stuff, like I just said. But they put out content every Tuesday.
And every Saturday for their gaming.
And then various other droplets of content. It is entertaining as all hell.
It is Corey and Tommy, as our brother and our brother from another
movie. I wasn't even going to mention their names this time. No, I'm just kidding. Yes, Corey, our brother, and Tommy, our brother from another mother, who has gonorrhea. You should definitely go support them and help them out by subscribing to their channel, liking their videos, watching their content, commenting on their content. All the same things that you can do for us. Do it for them, too.
If you've been a day one listener with us, then you know we plug them all the time. You know that they have been on the podcast here recently. That's something that you can find out on our Instagram, Two Bros in Review. We did two bonus episodes. When I went out of town, Nathan and Corey got together and recorded two episodes for you guys. So, TRG Network and Two Bros in Review, we support each other. That's the best part about it. And that's what we would love from you guys, is your support on all those free things that we offered.
That's right. Another thing that I personally could use some support on, if you want to support me personally, is my YouTube channel, High Society Productions. I keep saying it's getting closer. I'm getting back into the booth to put out some content. I am. Just got some things to move around. It's a new year, new me. I hate that saying. I don't know why I said that. But I will be. I got a few things I just need to move around, quite literally, and get in my new office, and I'll start putting out more content again. Not going to do it every day like I was, because just not going to do it. But I'll be putting out content for all of y'all to view and like. So
get on there, hit that bell, subscribe,
like.
And while you're on YouTube, you can go over to my YouTube channel, KW Snow. Last week I said that the weekend coming up I was going to be going out of town and to snowshoe in West Virginia, and I had my weeks mixed up. It's actually this weekend that I'm going, so that way I can film some more video stuff and make an edit for you and have it on there. So KW Snow, follow it, watch it, enjoy it.
All right. We also both have Twitch channels. Mm-hmm. If you are into gaming, we stream, both of us, several days throughout the week. Kyle has a more set schedule than I do, but to find me, it's HSP Gameplay on Twitch, and to find Kyle, it's
Chef Boy RC on Sundays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. I stream Skater XL, Sea of Thieves, Rocket League, and Halo, and they are all usually starting around 9 p.m. Eastern. I didn't mention that last week, but that is around the time. Like, it's not a set time, but it is a set day. So, Chef Boy RC, and that's the word C, like S-E-A.
Yep, and I don't have really a set schedule. That's another thing I need to work on and get that going. I'm also going to be streaming on my YouTube occasionally, which is High Society Gameplay on YouTube. But I play a lot of Sea of Thieves. I'll probably be doing some little dabbles of other things, but it's mainly going to be Sea of Thieves. And definitely get on there and check us out when we're twitching. That's right. I'm going to continue saying it. It's twitching. So when we're twitching, get on there. Even if you don't like the game, just get on there and talk to us. So we have someone in our chat supporting us and providing some content for us while we're providing content for you, I guess.
The best way to explain it is, like, if you get on there and you're not interested in the game, you don't even have to look at the screen. You can just look at the chat and communicate on there and listen to the responses and everything. It's pretty fun. Like, I had Jordan when I was playing Skater XL, and, like, he was, like, commenting tricks to do and stuff. And then we started talking about other stuff, but it was, like, I was still playing the game while we were conversating, like, conversing about whatever we were conversing about. So just get on there. It's free to download the app, and you got to, you know, make a profile or whatever. It's free to do that. It's easy with Gmail, if you have Gmail. And then you just type in Chef Boy RC, or you type in HSP Gameplay, and you click follow, and it will actually notify you on the app whenever we go live. So it's pretty cool. And we host each other's pages. So if he's live and I'm not, then you can go to my page and see his, and vice versa.
That's right. And then the only other thing that I've got to plug is my wife's company, Rich Lily Designs. Check her out on Facebook, Rich Lily Designs. She is putting in that work still, making custom orders for anybody who reaches out to her, pretty much. If you can think of it, she can make it. She's got me in her back pocket to do designs and stuff. So if there's something that you want, put on a hoodie, shirt,
mug, bookmark, fucking anything.
Like, pretty much anything.
Literally anything. Rich Lily Designs.
Yes, hit her up. Rich Lily Designs. Or hit me up and then I'll put you in contact with her. But Rich Lily Designs is the name of the company. So that's all I've got to plug. Do you have anything else to plug?
No, it's getting a little warm in here. So about time to unplug the plugs.
Sounds like a plan. But I do want to ask you a real quick question. Put you on the spizzot. New year. You got any resolutions?
I don't do the resolutions thing.
Do the resolutions.
I'm making goals for myself, okay. But not resolutions because like I don't have to feel like shit if I don't accomplish the goals.
Okay.
You know, like I'm gonna go to the gym more. It's like yeah, for the first month, and then I'm back to sitting on the couch eating chips.
Okay. Well, what are some goals? Well, let's put it out there in the world because I am a true believer that if you put it out into the world rather than just keep it to yourself, that you're more likely to succeed at achieving those goals. So put your goals out, man.
They're mainly just content development. Like, you know, like get the stream better, get the YouTube better, get the podcast better, just things like that. Like, you know, make a steady schedule where when we're doing the plugs at the end, I can say Sunday at 9, Tuesday at 10, you know, like things like that. Like none of that is actually officially set, and you know, life happens, but you know, like I'd like to get more solid into our times. So that way it's like, you know, we got a new listener. They're like, you know what, let me listen to this week's episode. They go and it's like, oh, it's there. You know, like we fuck up, but you know, we're human. So if you fault us for fucking up a couple times, I apologize. But, that's all I can really think. What about you? Do you have any resolutions or goals?
I'm with you with the whole resolution and go to the gym, and then a month later you're not going to the gym anymore. I'm with you on that. Lord knows I've done it. My only resolution is to be better. And by that I mean I need to be a better person. I need to be better fit because I'm a fat ass. I need to be a better father, a better gamer, a better business. Everything this year, I want to be better. Like that's my resolution. If I can't better myself every day of this year, then I'm a failure. Mm-hmm. I think I personally will be able to better myself every day in some way, shape, or form. So that's my only resolution, is be better.
Yeah.
As far as goals though, I'm with you. I got goals that I want to get my stream, both on Twitch and YouTube, both channels, I guess, going, operating at a consistent high level. Mm-hmm. I really want to pursue my real estate license. I already took classes in 2021. I passed the required classes to get it. Now I just got to study for the exam, take the exam, and then I can start doing real estate. So that's a little out there, but that's something a goal I want to.
You got it?
Yeah.
It's all in your head, man. You got it. Like, I'm telling you. It's just you holding yourself back, so.
Yeah, I know.
Not to sound cliche, but it sounds like you're, like, in a way saying, new year, new me. Yeah.
I said that already. I hate that saying, but you're right.
It is the worst saying, but it fits every aspect of both of our, like, quote-unquote resolutions or goals.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But
2021 sucked.
Yes.
Like, just in general. I mean, there's some good takeaways from it, obviously. But I think 2021 as a whole fucking sucked. And the year itself was like, fuck you guys. I'm taking Betty White from you.
Oh, my God.
R.I.P. Betty White. We gotta mention.
She is the OG, the original gangster. She died a week before her 100th birthday. And fuck and a day Antonio before Brown.
2022.
Yeah, huh? I was gonna say, and fuck Antonio Brown.
Fucking
yeah. I don't know. I just had to say it. But like I said last week, though, the Bengals did pull out that win. So,
fuck the Bengals.
But I mean, that's really all that I have. I'm Kyle Webb.
I'm his brother Nathan Webb.
And you just listen to our podcast,
Two Brothers and a Review.
Check you later. That was a pretty good hook at the end, you know what I mean?
Pretty good hook. Sequel hook. That's a fucking trope that I could have been funny and said. Why didn't I think of that?
I don't know. I guess it's like a fly of honey or whatever the fuck they say.
Let's go play Sea of Thieves.
All right.